outside the box of religious obligation lies a road less travelled, into the heart of the father's affection. Slinging freedom all over the place, this is the God Journey. The God Journey. The God Journey.
If all goes well, by the time this drops on Friday, I'm going to be in Denver, Colorado. Yeah, we're getting out from the pandemic. Nope, not flying. I don't get excited. Not having a meeting. So if you live in Denver, don't go, hey, Wayne's coming to town. Sarah and I are actually have rented an RV. We've never done this before. We've got an RV, and we're going to drive the 16 hours from here to my son in Denver, Colorado. We're going to spend a few days there and drive back. So that gives us a week's vacation, Sarah and I, just to hang out, do a little driving, be together, and away from all things live stream, God Journey, blogs and podcasts and all that. It's going to take a break. And so that's why things will be fairly quiet here. I think I've got some stuff in the pipeline to help the God Journey keep happening. But if that runs short, because when we get back from that, my dad's having a surgical procedure. So I'm going to go up and spend a few days with him and get him through that. So the last of June here is going to be kind of a bit different. Things will be definitely quieter on the live stream blog. Got some podcasts, and we're doing the different thing on Tuesday. So we'll see how that goes. Today, I'm going to play the after show. Sunday afternoon, this on June the 6th. 10 of us I got together, and from different parts, Canada, we had a person from Europe, we had some people around, and just had a wide-ranging discussion about a lot of things that we talk about at various times on the God Journey. So this is a chance for you to expand the conversation, to hear what other people are thinking, what they're exploring, where they're growing, and had a great time together. I know many of you also listened on the live stream, because I saw some of that as well, but for those of you that missed it or just wanted in your podcast feed, so this is 10 of us sitting down Sunday afternoon talking about our God journeys. This is Open Line Sunday, so you guys are welcome to walk anywhere you want to walk together. I'll stay with you as long as I'm interested, and then I'm leaving. No, I'm kidding.
Wayne, is that, I just want to know behind you, is that real or is that just a picture? Like, is there actually water flowing behind your head?
That is a real video of a piece of Sarah's garden. Okay.
Wow.
And I've got it on a screen behind me.
The beach.
Okay, got it.
It makes me think pleasant thoughts when I see Sarah's garden.
I'm just curious. Have the rest of you been God journeyers for more than a couple years, or you've been on the path for a while, or just recently come into a relationship with Wayne and his teaching? Just curious. I've on Easter Sunday 2009 was when I first heard about the God Journey, and that's I've been on the it's been a continuation of the journey that I was on before. Just curious about how long you've been, other people have been listening to this weird guy that dares to speak his heart and connect people with the living God.
I've been at least few years on and off, but I started somehow got into the Wayne's book, I think one or two books, and that's how I started. And I found out that Wayne has at the time, I don't know whether it's still going, the Yahoo, what do you call that thing? Yahoo group going on. And then I got into the God Journey. So am mm-hmm. I making sense? So you're right, Wayne, right?
Yeah.
So I was very interesting. It was different than other, other kind of, I'm going to get back to, I'm a repetitious guy. I'm going to back to the Wayne's actually, the perspective, the view that mainly he's kind of a, in a way, his journey, I guess, that his testimony, his experience, what he had to go through, that helped me a lot. I think that's what it clicked me in a way, I think. That was the kind of what still is in a way. So it helped me, I think. I'm still on my journey, but like I said, that the God Journey, I like that title, that we all in different journey, I guess. So anyway, I'm still learning.
Well, my name is Dave, and I would say I probably started on the journey 20, 30 years ago, very much always involved in the institutional church, but found myself constantly in trouble until finally, after about the third or fourth church, I was encouraged to leave by leadership and ended up going to seminary and coming back, doing two church plants, and those turned into fiascos. And it was, that was in 2010 when the last of that happened. And then someone introduced me, I think it was about 2014 or 15, to the God journey. And it just clicked, because that was the journey I was on.
Exactly.
You know, and so since then I've been following and paying attention and always reading all kinds of stuff that's not accepted by a lot of main institutional places.
It really teaches you how to bite your tongue in certain circles. So,
yes.
Mine is a relatively recent journey. I'd have to stop and think how long, but it's through connection with our church. Our pastor has been showing us, Wayne, your books for many years. So the connection was through that. And it's just grown deeper and deeper. And I, you know, we have a, I have a better understanding of God and my life and how he uses us and how he speaks to us. And so, yeah, it's been longer, I guess, than I would think, but it seems relatively soon to me.
Well, I didn't want to turn this conversation into a talk about Wayne. That's not his reason for this at all. I know his heart. The reason I asked was because very shortly after, I started listening to stuff that he's made available. I heard him. I'm gonna quote it here because it's been quoted wrong in my head for a while. So his actual invitation is, when we find ourselves trapped in things that we're doing, habits that we have that we're trying to get rid of, trying to get out of, he has invited us to ask the question, ask God, what is it about your love that I don't know, that if I knew it, I would trust you here? Have you all heard that question?
Yes.
Has anybody asked God that question?
Yes.
Has anybody gotten an answer?
Yeah.
Seriously, I haven't. I've been asking that question for more than 5 years, and I haven't gotten an answer until just a week ago. So if anybody has had a similar frustrating time with this God that doesn't answer when we want him to,
well, that's a different statement now.
True enough.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's not always it's not always in our time, and it's not always when we want, but if we ask and we listen, he will answer. And the more we listen, the more we ask, the more he answers. And that's the way it seems it's been for me. So mine was as recently as I was reading something, actually listening to the Bible, and I just couldn't understand it. It made no sense where God was, you know, killing people. And I just said, God, I know this is not your heart, so I'm not hearing it right. You killing and maiming people, I'm not hearing something right. So please help me to understand that, as opposed to years ago, I would have said, that's just crazy talk. So it made me look and get better understanding of the scriptures as to what is God's heart and what is my reason that I'm not receiving that, his heart.
Yeah, I think I've learned that from listening to these podcasts for sure. And then just studying the word. I always, when people say things that maybe kind of, or are questioning God, I tend to always go back to, okay, what do we know about the character of God? So if we know that about the character of God, is that going to be true or is that going to be false? And is our interpretation then true or false? And it's all contingent on his character. And if we know what his character is, then it should prove our question, should answer our question. So at least help us get there anyways, maybe not give us a full answer all the time. But.
I think for my personal, it's not so much, asking God, what is it I don't understand? But once you ask that question, I think I love history, and I, looking back through, it was an interesting question at the beginning. When did you begin your God journey? Well, the God journey is that's an interesting thing, but I think the real beginning happened back in Bible school when things kind of went sideways, and there was, for lack of better terminology, a turn, a little bit of a turn. It's like this changed a bit, and that changed a bit, and that changed a bit. And as I look back over history, I can see that God's hand has been there all along, for lack of a better term, wooing me or bringing me to a place where there is a relationship. Is it a good relationship? I think it's very good. Is it as good as it's supposed to be? Probably not. It's still a work in progress. Are there a lot of things I don't understand about God? Sure, there are. I think it's an unfolding like any relationship. It's I think about, Iris, I've known her for really quite a long time now, and longer than anybody else on the screen. And over the years, it's become clear that, she really is for me. Now, we've had our spats, we've had fights even. She usually wins. But the point being that she is in my corner. And that's if I look back over the years, it's become increasingly clear. And I mean, of the other people that, are on the screen presently, I know a few of you for more than a couple of years or three or four. And also true, you start to understand where people's interaction with you are, where it's coming from and how it relates and really how good it is. Kim and Greg, Wayne yourself, recently Bob, those things come out in time and just being able to look back and say, oh yeah, I can see where they have touched my life or have changed something or moved something, and even more so with God. Where I look back and I could say, yeah, there was a change there, and he really, really is in my corner.
That's so good.
I think my journey with the God journey stuff started while I started listening and probably 11 years ago or so. And one of the frustrations I really had was the way that God has created me. I have a lot of leadership tendencies and just those are some of my giftings is leadership and teaching and those kind of things. And I know this, so, but in the church, it was never recognized that way. I was never allowed to be those things because, primarily because I'm a woman. And, so it put me out of place. I didn't know where I fit majority of the time. And, Sunday school teacher, maybe nursery attendant, something like that. And that didn't fit me. And so the more I stepped out of that and sought God in how he actually created me and was, and I'm okay with that, it pulled me away from all the people who aren't okay with that. And that's okay. That's okay for them. I just don't really want to be around them so much. So I tend to smile and nod a lot when I'm in those circles because I know how they view me. I'm opinionated or I don't know what, if I were a man, I would just be a leader, but as a woman, it's different. And so in the church world, and so this, I think, just listening to Finding Church and the podcast and all of those things, have really freed me from that something's wrong with me picture to nope, nothing's wrong with me. God's just, he's got a different path for me and it's good. And I love that church is not confined to a building. Church is the body, and we we are who we are, and edifying and encouraging to the body, no matter where we are. And I just had a conversation with a pastor. He's a young pastor, 27 years old, so really young pastor. And he's so excited, and he's so idealistic, and he's so, you know, his father was a pastor and his grandfather was a pastor, you know, boo, 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 yay, 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 yay. Now his grandfather's the head of a denomination. So it's a big deal, you know, all these titles. And I just smiled, and he said, well, what about you? And I thought, oh, you don't want to know what about me. But I just said, you know, I don't really adapt to it. I go to several different churches when I want to go, and it's because of the family I want to be around, or whatever. And it's not about being plugged into one place all the time, and that's my family forever. I have family that's pretty big, and I know people from lots of different congregations, and yeah. So he tried to argue that, you know, corporate and being in one family is very important, and I just smiled. So for me, it's just been really freeing. And then also, it pulls you out of the argument, because there really isn't anything to argue about. It's just, you just got to keep walking what you feel like God's put you to walk.
You can't push or pull anybody to where you are on the path. You've got to just be real. I, that's something that I... that has changed for me. I was a pastor for many years, and I lived with the weight of being responsible for the spiritual eternity of half of the city population and all of my congregation. You're laughing. Well, I wasn't laughing. My wife wasn't either. She had to live with me. She still does. She still lives with me.
Good.
But it that was
funny, actually, because I like your really openness, the straightforwardness. Yeah, that has been a problem. You're not the only one who has experienced that, because I experienced some of that, what you just said. I can't remember what his name is, just one who spoke. And that is really, you zeroed in, yeah.
Bob, did you think a lot of your pastor friends felt the same way? Did you find that many of your other buddies that you talked to that were pastors struggle with the same stuff?
You know, I really, my pastoring days covered over several decades, but I don't think I ever even got to talk about that kind of thing with any other pastor.
That
wasn't something we talked about.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because if you're talking Wayne, I really liked what he said, because it reflects my experience too. I've been involved in different type of ministry in my journey from 1970s, but I've done my pastoring too. But what you just say is very, very, I can identify, because pastors don't talk about that to other pastors also. That I agree with you on that. So that's why it's very, very, so much pressure just being called a pastor, I think. You have long experience pastor, but I've done my pastoring more like church planning way back, and it's a tremendous pressure, and you have to sometimes, if I use the word, you have to pretend, actually. I think that I hope I'm okay with using that word, but it's a tremendous pressure that people don't realize that. I don't think other than the pastors, but pastors don't share with other pastors either. It's very difficult to share. That's another thing I agree with. I think that's where you're alluding to. I'm stopping here.
I was going to say, when I was in seminary, they actually, the instructors would tell me and the classes, don't get too close to the congregation. You don't want to let them know what the real issues are a lot of time about yourself. You can't have friends in your congregation.
Exactly. That's why.
And, you know, that was just more the downfall for me, because that was just like, whoa, this is not right.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
You know, you have to pretend, Dan. You have to pretend.
Yeah, I know.
No,
but there's a limit for me. Yeah. A lot of I think it has a personality too. Some of them just they can pretend. I've seen pastors when I was doing a pastor work. I don't want to say that long, but it's just some of them. Maybe it's a personality issue thing. I can't do that. There's a limit. Yeah. So my church, I was more involved with church planning situation. It's a different context. So what I call regular, just a long time pastoring. Wow, that is not easy. What you just said that, you know, I mean, you have to pretend and you have to, you know, like you said, you should not supposed to let other congregations know, you know, what's going on inside of you, right? Anyway.
Okay. Hey, I'll put a word in for other pastors. Not all pastors pretend.
No.
Yeah, I agree. No.
I did not. And that was part of the pressure. That was part of the weight that I carried. So there are many dear, wonderful, godly men who are walking as close to God as they know how right now.
Yeah.
And they're not putting on a show. They're not in it for the money. They're not after power. There are a lot of tender, wonderful
people
who care for their flock.
Yes, I agree. I agree with you. Is that your name, Richard, or
My last name is Richie.
Okay, I agree with you because I agree what you just said. 100% because I introduced the word pretend. That's why I coined the word. I wanted to be careful. I agree. That's why the pastors who are really sincerely devoted work, they have a tremendous pressure in a way because there's a certain set they have to. They have to, that's how they have to, because of, I think the way the, what you call modern church, the setup is so the pastor is the one actually has to, you know, that's from my learning experience. So, but I agree with you, Bob. Okay. What you just said, I don't 100% correct. Yes.
Hey, would it be rude if I took us in a different direction?
I wonder, before you do. Greg, I want to respond to something Angela said.
All right.
Cause it hurt my heart a little bit when I hear women like you who have gifts, who feel like you were part of a culture that despised your gifts because of your womanhood. And I was part of that. I was part of that cause I was schooled in that for a long time. And I'm so grateful that God has liberated me from that. But I don't want to pass a moment like that and say, I'm so sorry. I know that hasn't been an impediment to you. I know it's opened your life to move in other ways, which is fabulous. But man, I hate that part of my experience that despised the gifts of the sisters around me simply because they weren't masculine. They weren't male. And it's a horrible thing. It's been perpetuated, particularly in the conservative wing of Christianity. But I want to acknowledge it and just say how sorry I am that you've experienced years of that.
So, thank you. I welcome. Appreciate that.
Greg, go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just to say something about what you just said, Wayne. I didn't know that. It's like funny that spiritual gifts, we think that they are related by gender.
Yes, we do. We've been taught that.
Yeah, I know. So wrong. Something you said this week in your podcast,
I don't listen to those things. I don't know.
I know. But I feel like the one thing that's sometimes not, what I like to talk most about is the wonderment and amazingness of Jesus. And I think that's what I get is a flavor from you most of the time, Wayne. Hmm. If I could liken it like this, for you, Jesus is the chocolate cake. For me, Jesus is the coconut cake.
Well, you're obviously deceived.
Yeah, sorry about that. But in other words, he's the satisfaction. He's the, you know, discovering him in that realm just makes you captivated. And I think that's what happened to me years ago. And what I hear mostly when you're talking is that part. And it's amazing. Because when you interact with Jesus, so often we focus on our inabilities in certain areas of our lives, some that need to be changed, or, you know, and so then we'll kind of focus on trying to fix that area. And then we'll try to develop maybe memorizing scripture in that area, trying to develop some kind of pattern of how to fix that, you know. And my experience, that doesn't work. It usually gets worse. What I discovered is, you know, like just interacting with Jesus about anything. I don't know. Say you're struggling with something. You open up the scriptures. You start reading the begets. So-and-so beget so-and-so. So-and-so beget so-and-so. But what happens is I'm actually opening up to him in some way, somehow. That's just what's starting to happen. I'm turning to him. I may not be reading something that's directly with my issue, but that is, there's such a miracle. My experience is such a miracle. All of a sudden, I start touching him. I start experiencing him. And oh my gosh, I may get light in some areas unrelated. It's like, what? I mean, I think sometimes when you talk a lot about in your journey with Jesus, you just find yourself all of a sudden at a place where like, oh my gosh, I don't care about this anymore. I used to be a real butt over here. And now I'm not being that butt anymore. What happened to me? It was because, like, what scripture talks about, those guys who had been with Jesus. And I tell you, that's what I want to do. And I think the difficulty in early on in my walk with Jesus is I had a lot of thoughts that it was difficult to know him. And that's a lie. It's not difficult to know him. Yeah. I make it difficult because I think there's some kind of hoops I got to jump through. And yeah. No, it's all about, he's the one that was the initiator, not me. So kind of getting those things out of there, out of my head, and just open it up. I mean, today on our walk, oh my gosh, we had this weird thing. I got up. I've just talk about personally what's going on with me. I got diagnosed with melanoma about a couple weeks ago. That really shook my world a little bit. So I got surgery coming up in June. Hopefully they're going to do some more radical surgery around where the melanoma was, and then they're going to go in and take some lymph nodes out. And Jesus, hope there's no more. That's what I'm praying for and looking for. But I woke up this morning kind of feeling kind of glum. But Kim started talking to me, and she started bringing the Spirit up in me. So I got the Lord. And so now I'm starting to experience him. I'm not consciously thinking about it, but it's happening. And so we're walking along. I see a couple in front of us. We're coming down a trail. And I saw this couple, and something about them just attracted me. I was amazed at their conversation. And so I just noticed it, walked on. And then later on, we ran into them again. And I felt like the Lord was encouraging me to do something. I didn't really want to because I just didn't want to open myself up to whatever that's going to come my way. So I turned around this couple and I said, you know, they said hello and they were very friendly. So that was just an open to me to say, hey, I just want to notice. Your conversation was so cool. I just liked how you guys were interacting together. I thought it was awesome. And because it was, they just looked like they were enjoying each other's company. And I just wanted to tell them how I thought that was so cool. And they go, what? You're kidding me. Do you know, we just met online. We just came here to this park and we're meeting for the first time.
Wow. That's hilarious.
And like, really? Well, tell you what, you see, we're like getting along, really? Like, you know, and it was so funny. I was like, oh Lord, what in the world are you doing? This is already over my head. but I just, you know, to me, Kim starts speaking to me because I was worried about myself. She gets me into the Spirit and then the whole realm comes in. And to me, that's how we get healed. That's how we get transformed. It's just being with him. Just being with him. It's just real simple.
Yeah, that takes me back to Bob's original question about, you know, what is it about your love I don't understand? First of all, I'd clarify, Bob, I never ask people to pray that. I just tell people that's what I pray when I'm in that kind of situation. Then other people think I'm telling everybody to pray the same way. I'm really not. I think people need to pray however the words best express them. But when I pray that for myself, God, what is it about your love I don't know? I'm not looking for something to come back to me, some point of wisdom, some knowledge, some whatever. What I'm looking for is my heart to expand so that I have just what you talked about, Greg, where I see him again and I trust him and his presence in me is big enough to contain the thing I'm worried about. It's not necessarily that I get an answer. It's oftentimes I don't care about it in the same way when I was begging God for an answer. I've got to have an answer. I got to have this. I got to have that. I'm not begging for it because I don't need that answer anymore. That's what I loved about my conversation with Courtney about scriptures. We started with all these. She had a whole list of scriptural things she wanted to talk about. But then we ended up talking about trust and how we grow in trust. And then she said, I don't even care about my questions anymore. And that's just what I heard you express, a similar thing, Greg. And I love that. I love how it's not that our questions are unimportant to God. It's that they usually aren't the most important questions to God. And if we go on that journey, he's got another way to kind of lead us and open our heart. And then the thing we thought we needed wisdom about, we really didn't. We don't.
Yes.
And wow. Because exactly. We're more at rest in him and then, exactly. Then more present in the circumstances that are coming at us. So that's what I love about that kind of approach to God, which has been a meaningful part of the last 20 years of my life for sure.
Well, that's exactly my story. In the last 10 days or so, I sensed as I was asking the question, what is it about you, your love that I don't know, that if I knew it, this wouldn't be a problem? And I sensed in my heart, and it happens often that I hear, I don't hear his voice, but words come that I sense are really from him. And he said, he seemed to be saying, it's simpler than you're making it. That's all he said. That's all I heard. So I said, well, that's interesting. what could it be then?
I kind of experienced this week. We've been, I'm remodeling a large venue, and we're almost to the end of it. So I'm starting in on the marketing piece of it and getting it out there. And there's been a lot of issues with the building. So the owners have put on a new roof. They've put in new HVAC. And then we started working on some plumbing things this week, and the septic was a mess. So it's kind of feeling like everything has an issue. And I was hearing from three different people, the negative. And I'm a pretty like, we're going, this is going to be great. We're just following God and we're going. And I can be very motivational. I can be very excited. But if you hammer at me too much, I'm like, okay. So anyways, at one point, my husband came up to me and said, Ange, we're not going to have a hay crop if we don't get rain in the next 2 weeks. And so we have to figure out what to do with the animals and how to feed them and to prep for, you know, for hay. So we got to talk to some people who have hay and maybe buy some just in case. And I was like, okay. So there was just all these negative voices. We're not going to have, it's not going to work. That's going to be a problem. And I finally just stopped and I was like, no, okay. Here's what we're going to do. And my kids and I were walking out in the hayfield. Anyways, we were going out to fix some fence and I stopped my two youngest and I was like, we need to just pray over this field. So we just prayed over the field. Lord, we just pray it be abundant. And if it's not abundant, that you show us the right way to prep, be prepared. And then I walked over to my husband and I said, you sit down. He was in the tractor and he was getting up. I said, sit back down. And I said, look at your field. And he said, okay. And I said, that field is going to provide what we need it to provide this year. And if it doesn't, God's going to show us what we'll provide. And he was like, okay, you're right. I was like, now stop bringing that negativity into my house. So then when I talked to one of the owners, he said, yes, ma'am. But I talked to one of the owners. And he was giving me the same thing, like, oh, this and that and that. And I finally said, listen, I'm going to tell you the same thing I told my husband. And I told him the story. And then I said, so now you stop bringing that negativity into my house. And he said, okay. So the last few days, I've been super motivated. We've had a ton of interest in the venue and we've been booking events and things. And it's just picking back up. But we just had to change that tenor, that conversation that was being had, because we weren't focusing on what the Lord can do. We were focusing on what the world was doing to us or what was happening. And you have to change that tenor and allow the Spirit of God to rise up in you and shut it down for the negativity on everybody else. So
I would jump in with Bob and Wayne's conversation back and forth about, you know, praying for the God to reveal his love. I did that kind of for a while, Bob, but kind of went, yeah, this isn't. And then I stumbled on or went, God reminded me of somewhere in one of Wayne's blogs, something where I think it was, maybe it was with Brad or something. By the way, I miss Brad.
Don't we all?
So, yeah. Anyway.
I'm recording with him tomorrow, by the way. So.
Okay. The passage of scripture, the Beatitudes in the Message where Peterson translated, what I really want you to do is relax. And I have started using that more and more and more of when I start to get stressed out, just going, okay, no, I'm just supposed to relax.
Yeah.
And then I read that or I tell someone about that a lot of times and they of course always hit you, well, yeah, but and they got all the shoulds that you need to do.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
You just yeah but them back.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but them back.
They relax and
it
just
is the
let
truth,
God take
though,
care of it.
It's falling back into yes. It's letting him handle it and trusting that he will handle it, that he put you in that place and he's going to walk you through it. But sometimes it can be really thick to walk through.
I wanted to ask a question. I was just wondering if anyone is reading the book that Wayne and Arnita and Robert and their thoughts and feelings about it.
Oh, it's gotten me in all kinds of trouble. With all kinds of friends. I've lost a whole bunch of friends. Friends like Wayne was saying that he does, and most of it has been questions. I ask a question, and it's like, how can you ask such a question? You need to believe this. You know, there is no such thing as white privilege or whatever political party you want to go with. The other sides are all idiots. Like, I didn't ask that. I just ask a question, and I can't get responses from a lot of people.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, and I'm sorry, Wayne, I'm going to plug my pastor in our church. Probably shouldn't do that, but it was a great message today. He was talking about the church in Ephesus, the culture in Ephesus. Anyway, the conversation was just unbelievable and how it was upside down to what the Bible says. And it was amazing how they had to be relearned, and Paul and Timothy were there to teach them the Bible. And it was just complete misunderstanding, relearning. And I thought, oh my goodness, if that isn't a timely message for today, I don't know what is. And it's in the Bible. I just, you know, I think we need to have empathy for our Black families, and we need to hear what they're going through and just listen and ask questions. And yeah, it's going to be tough. We're not going to like the answers we're going to hear, and we have to listen.
One of the great dangers is thinking we already know everything we need to know. And one of the things that keep us from being growth-minded is to be able to say, you know what, I might be misinformed on this, but political parties, either one, they don't want you to think. They want you just to fall in line. And part of the language of healing was to get people, so let's start thinking, let's start talking. And more importantly, particularly for us who are white, let's start listening.
Yeah.
Let's start. We've had the microphones for a long time. We do a lot of the talking. Let's listen, and in listening, learn. And I know the blog I put up on Friday has gotten a ton of angry pushback and probably lost a pretty good group of readers, but I'm okay with it. I'm okay with saying, gosh, if you're not willing to even take a look at your biases, take a look at what you don't know is bias. You think it's the only way to think about it. That's how you process life. And I used to process life that way too, so I get it. But man, I enjoy the arc of growth I've seen in my life the last 5 years on some of these issues and some of these relationships that has been enriching and transforming to me. It's not just being generous to other people, though that's part of the motive. But man, it's been enriching to me as well in ways I'd never even thought it would be.
You know, I'm an Asian. I was born in Asian continent, but like I said, I've been here not 100 years, but that long time. But I'm still learning. You know, this week and past week, for me, I think someone used the word relearn or learning. It's a learning process for me. I'm still learning from 1970s that all this issue always comes back, the racial issue. And I, as an Asian, and I'm still trying to. I guess I would never get it. For me, I think never getting what it really means to treat or respect, or whatever the terminology used. That I'm on reflection. Actually, this whole thing unraveled. So that's my kind of journey, in a way, on that issue. That what's the word? The reflection and learning or relearning, and the perspectives of this all this racial context, you know, that in this land and then beyond. I spent quite a bit, if I may. I hope I'm not going to take it that long. I spent for my work. I spent quite a time in Africa, in every region actually, but I cannot travel anymore. Those days gone. So those years, I reflect upon that too. I spent time there, and it is a different context, but that is where, you know, I call it origin of the, the continent, Africa. So I'm still learning. I work with the people still, the leaders and Christian leaders have a contact, and we're still involved in some countries in Africa. I'm not going to say any. I don't have any solution, but I'm a learner. I try to be a learner, especially on this issue. So it is a complex issue for me, for everybody, I guess. That's why it's what we are going through here in this land.
I can say that this has been a tough time, I think, for me personally, from the standpoint of. When I was in seminary, my wife and I decided to become the only white couple in an all-black church. And we were part of that family for those 4 years of seminary. And every time I go back to Colorado, I go to that congregation. And it's part of my home church. It's one of the places I call home. And yet the struggle to be on the other side, to be the minority, was an eye-opening experience. And then I had a foster son who ended up adopting three kids of color, and watching them be discriminated against for just a variety of things. I mean, simply tested and put on special ed, and then finding out they were put in special ed because the district would get double funding. And fortunately, they moved to Gillette, Wyoming, and I insisted they have their kids retested, and they tested again, and they qualified for special ed gifted. And so, yeah, there's discrimination, racism in so many weird forms that you don't even think about it.
Yep. Yeah, I can definitely talk into that also. I have a black brother and two black children. So I can tell you firsthand, there's a lot of deep-seated hatred in our country, deep-seated hatred. I'm praying that doors open and that we really understand the pain that they're in, that they live in, and we just don't see it day to day. We just don't, and we almost can't expect to because it's not there. But we do have to listen, and we do have to believe when we're being told things, and we have to help. We have to be that. We have to be empathy and God to them. I mean, you know, I don't want to say what would Jesus do, but what would Jesus do if he, you know, saw someone life get snuffed out right on television, just right there.
And what's sad is that it's taken that, because we've been asked for the last 15 years to take this seriously by the black, by the black community. Yes. And we just have not. And then finally you see a guy on a video actually have the life choked out of him. And now we all care, which is great. It's great we're caring now, but it would have been helpful if we could have cared earlier. And so I think there is a momentum to this time that may be different and may be very, very helpful.
I agree.
I think the other thing that gets me on this whole thing is, yes, it took a video, but it's the day-to-day stuff. My daughter has a black roommate, and she works in a telecommunications, and she comes home some days and she's just wiped out. And I'll say to her, I'll say, "So what's wrong, girl?" And she says, "It was too much racial remarks today." Someone will call in and they'll say, "I got this problem," and she'll respond and they'll say, "Oh, I don't need to talk to one of your people. I need to talk to one of my people." You know, she'll get those sort of remarks during the day. So it's not killing somebody, but that just wears on you.
And I think the frustration of all those little things you're talking about, little in our parlance, but that's what's feeding what's going on right now. It's not the death of one man. We face this every day in the culture in less death defying ways, but we still face it. And hopefully we can wrap our heads around it this time. And I still, from my blog on Friday, got a lot of people saying, "This is all a bunch of BS. There is no discrimination going on in America." And when people tell me that, what I know is they don't know any black or brown people. They don't know them. They may have friends at work who are whatever, but they don't know them. They don't know what they go through. Because if you have close friends, you'll know what people who don't fit into the majority culture go through every day. And it amazes me that some people are still completely blind to that. And I mean, they're good people. I don't hate them. They're great people.
No.
They just don't have an ability to see beyond their own little world, which is the white privilege they don't want to talk about. You can live in that white world and not see it. You can, but it's hurting other people. And I think if those people saw the hurt, they would be different, but they don't see the hurt yet. Maybe we can now, hopefully. So it's certainly taken the whole world. It's not even just a U.S. thing. So that's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
All righty. We're getting toward the end of it here. Anything else anybody wants to bring up before we shut her down?
I enjoy podcasts. I'm a much older person. But the fact that we can get together and you can be in Alaska and you can be in California and I can be in Florida, I just love this. I do. And I love talking to God's people. I love hearing what's going on and what he's doing. I mean, it's just so uplifting and encouraging. And I appreciate the medium and, you know, everything that goes into it. It's a joy to me.
Thanks, Eileen. I love that too.
Me too. I was going to say that too, that I appreciate these podcasts and being a part of them. So thanks for doing it.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I just want to say one last word. If I'm on, I'm a repetitious guy. I really, I do appreciate, I don't mean in a kind of flattering way. I guess there are other people too, but in my journey, I think Wayne was one of those who opened it up. I was searching that issue of the, you know, the Wayne story and testimony. So it helped me. So I just want to put that thing in there today. So I just want to say that again.
Me too.
Yes. Different journey, though. We are all different journey, though. Right, Wayne?
Yep.
All different journey.
Absolutely.
That's what we're still, I'm still learning.
That's good.
I'm still not there yet.
I don't think any of us are. So
none of us are. No.
Welcome to the journey.
I agree.
Thank you.
If you think, if you think you are there already, there, then you're in trouble, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I have a quick question. So, is like COVID gone in the U.S. now? Like, has it gone from
completely
the pandemic to
completely? Like, yeah, we put it all in a box, shipped it to Canada.
It seems like, you know, one minute we're all self-isolating, and then there's these huge. Our prime minister went to a massive rally, and, you know, last week he was telling everyone to stay home and not be in groups. And so I'm just thinking it's an interesting shift. But what I've also just learned recently, actually just yesterday, I heard from that lady who's in charge of a funeral home, most of the deaths these days are from suicides. And so you just see, there's been this huge shift from where people were isolated and now they're rallying behind. So, I mean, I'm not wanting to talk politics, but I'm just thinking, like, I just continue to just pray, like, God, just show us what is our role here. The each person, mm-hmm. like Greg and Kim, the people you see on the trail, like, we've got it. I know whenever I go shopping with Andrew, he wants to just bring light to situations, like just make people laugh. And I think that's just an important thing for us to remember, that every person that we're coming across, like just praying, like, God, how can we love these people well? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we really are in an interesting time and people are coming out of being isolated to
turmoil.
I don't know, things being thrown at them, and what do they believe, and what are they leaning on? And
the COVID is still here. I think what the feeling has been is this is such an important issue that we're going to take the risk. People have taken the risk to go out in large crowds. We're going to know in 2 or 3 weeks as to whether that changes the curve, and it may change it significantly. At least to this sense, we'll have a better sense. If there's not a whole lot of rise in COVID from this, then we'll know we've closed down way too much. So we're going to learn something. Tragically, if it ramps the deaths back up, then that's going to be a real tragic. But I know a lot of people I've heard there in these protests are saying this was important enough to take this risk because maybe people will listen now. Mm-hmm. We've been trying to get them to listen for so long. And the number of white people that are joined in this time, young people, it's very, very different. But it is putting a risk in the world. It is. And we'll see what the aftermath of that is. And maybe we have over-quarantined. I think part of it was people just tired of being indoors, tired of being alone, tired of, and that may have helped drive some of the frustration. And we're already opening up as a culture anyway. So let's go see. When you look at some of those crowds, they're more distanced within the crowd than it looks like from low telephoto shots. It looks like everybody's packed in. So they're not always, in a lot of, particularly the smaller protests, people have stayed somewhat distanced and with their masks on, but it's a risk for sure.
I have some friends that are in a Bible study with me, some girlfriends, and some of them are asking, what can we do personally with all that's going on around us right now? And one of them was saying she sought the Lord about it because, you know, how can we make a difference? And she said she heard the Lord. She was just in tears about everything going on around her. And it's like the Lord said, volunteer at the Boys and Girls Club and help mentor these young boys or these young girls. Or just what we were talking this morning, what can we as a couple do to make a difference? We can love the people in front of us. And that's what we've learned so well from you, Wayne. And it's like, we can't really get on a bandwagon or do anything personally, but we can love people well and just let the Lord, the Spirit lead us. And otherwise we get in this mode of fear and anxiety and what am I going to do? Our lives are never going to be the same. There's a new normal and our kids and there's all these fears and worries, and we just have to go back to, like what you said, Bob, relax and rest in the Lord and say, what are we doing today, Lord? And it may be that we speak something to someone to help them look at another view, see things in another way, but in a gentle, loving, caring way, because people are so angry right now. And I just feel like soft answer turns away wrath. And that's how we want to move forward with the whole COVID, with the whole turmoil around us. We just want to love people and let the Lord figure it out, because it's just Greg's new diagnosis. It's like, we are so weak, but we have a mighty God that can do all kinds of things.
Yeah. Glad they found it too, Greg. We'll be praying for you as you guys go through this next
season. Oh, thank you.
Carry it. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Someone reminded me of the quote from The Lord of the Rings where Frodo laments the fact that the ring has come to him and he's got to deal with all this. And he says to Gandalf, I wish these things had not happened in my time. And Gandalf responds, the times choose us. We don't choose them. And, you know, whatever's going on in the world, and this is the most disorienting time in my lifetime, I think probably since World War II, this is the most globally impacting thing going on. But God chose us to live in this time. God chose us to live here now. And that gives all kinds of hope for however he wants to make himself known through it.
Thank you for traveling with us today on The God Journey. You can join this conversation by visiting thegodjourney.com.